Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Do I start today? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana. وزدنا علما والحقنا بعبادك الصالحين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الأولين وصل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الآخرين وصل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الله 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 No, needless to remind you of what we said yesterday, right? When we hear the name of a Nabi al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, we immediately, and don't forget his family as well in your salah, huh? So you don't just chop off one part of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do when the Sahaba al-Kiram were asking him, how do we do salah on you, Ya Rasulullah? He said, قولوا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم خير Let's enter the what hadith did we stop at 12 We're starting at 12 لا إله إلا الله يقول الإمام السيوطي رحمه الله تعالى So we are at Imam Suyuti's book and we will continue inshallah with Imam Suyuti's Hadith number 12 in reviving the dead with the fada'il, the virtues of Ahlul Bayt. قال الإمام السيوطي رحمه الله أخرج الطبراني عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قال بغض بني هاشم والأنصار كفر وبغض العرب نفاق. The hadith that At-Tabarani rahimahullah through Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu alayhima says bughdu bani hashim the dislike of bani hashim are who the tribe of an-nabi al-azam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi la the tribe of an-nabi al-azam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam again some people the tribe of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi an-nabi al-azam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what's his name Muhammad bin Hashim. Abdul Muttalib is the son of who? Hashim. So, Bani Hashim means the offspring of Hashim. You know that Hashim's name is not really Hashim. Right? Somebody is nodding. Anybody knew that? Some people know that, okay. Just like Abdul Muttalib, his name is not really Abdul Muttalib. His name is Shaybatul Hamd. Because he had a white hair from the minute he was born, he had a white hair. So the white hair of praise to Allah is what they called him. Shaybatul Hamd. Abdul Muttalib, جد النبي, the grandfather of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله. Really, as you know, he was سيد مكة. نعم. He was the master of مكة. يعني the leader of مكة. In fact, actually, he was سيد قريش بل سيد ربيعة ومضر. He was the master of the entire ربيعة of مضر, which means all the tribes that populated what's called now the Arabian Peninsula. Because Rabi'ah and Mudar are the big tribe of Quraysh. Lakin, Quraysh is the core of that tribe. And Bani Hashim, the offspring of Hashim, are the core of Quraysh, and therefore they were masters of masters of masters. هذا هاشم, his name is Amru. Amru al-Ula is his name. You know that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was Nassaba, which means he was a scholar of genealogy. And that's a knowledge, that's a science, to be a scholar in genealogy, ilm al-ansab. Well, he used to know the tribes by their people. Yani, who are you? What's your name? What's your father's name? He tells them, okay, you're from this. And then he says, well, who is this? All of a sudden, he gives you the file right away. Now, one time, he was walking with the Nabi al-Azam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and a man in the old days, the Arab tribes used to pride themselves and compete with each other on who is more generous. It's a competition. You know what does that mean? How can you become more generous when you're living in the desert for 1500 years ago? Well, in the morning it's easy, they'll grab somebody. If somebody is not from the town, you look like you're not from here, come. At night what they would do is they would light fire. And sometimes they would compete on whose fire is lit bigger. Why? Because the bigger fire, if you're coming from way in the desert, you will go towards the big fire because you would think there's more people there. There could be only one person. But he lights the biggest fire so the strangers or the people who are not from the town, they see this so they run to him. And they pride themselves on how much they give, on who's more generous. So much that one of them, he didn't have anything, so he slaughtered his own horse and he fed the people. Didn't have anything. And therefore the Arab poet, he says, Ya ضيفنا لو زرتنا, O our guest, if you visit us, لعلمت بأننا الضيوف وأنت رب المنزل. You would realize that we are the guests and you are the master of our house. These are kind of akhlaq al-Islam concurred and emphasized, did not abolish these kinds of ethics, that generosity. لذلك الحديث النبي الأعظم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان أجود من الريح المرسلة. Look at this expression, which I still have a problem explaining in English. He was more generous than the overwhelming breeze of wind. I don't know how, whatever you can imbibe out of that, try. In that competition, they would make poetry on who is more generous. So a man is walking and he's calling to his tribe, Bani Abd al-Dar. Bani Abd al-Dar is Batan min Shaybah. Batan min Quraysh. Yani an offshoot or a tribe among Quraysh. Quraysh is the big tribe. Huh? Sub-tribes, etc. Bani Abd al-Dar. Bani always means the offspring. Abd al-Dar. So he was talking in Medina. When Nabi al-Azam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking with As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr. With this man, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ الْمُحَوِّلُ رَحْلَهُ هَلَّا مَرَرْتَ بِآلِ عَبْدِ الدَّارِ. He says, which means the poetry, says, O person, if anyone is a stranger here, you should stop by the tents of Ali Abd al-Dar, Banu Abd al-Dar. Stop by their tents. If you are a stranger, you should stop by the tents. The narrations, one of the historians, he commented, An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr, he says, Ya Abu Bakr, is this what the poet said? And no, this man, he changed the poetry. He substituted the original name with his own tribe's name. He says, La ya Rasulullah, that's not what the poet says. He says, that tell him what the poet said. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, he starts saying, he says, Ya ayyuha rajulu al-muhawwilu rahlahu, هَلَّا مَرَرْتَ بِآلِ عَبْدِ مُنَافِي. not عبد الداري, آل عبد مناف, ها, ثكلتك أمك لو مررت برحلهم منعوك من ظلم ومن إجحاف الخالطون غنيهم بفقيرهم والضاعنون لرحلة الإيلاف. عمرو العلا هشم الثريد لقومه ورجال مكة مسنتون عجاف. نعم. He says, really, the poet, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now is saying, he says, nah, the poet said differently. The original version is when the poet says, oh, you stranger, if you are passing by, you should stop by the tents of Bani Abd Munaf. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abd Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Munaf. Bin Abd Munaf. So that's his great-grandfather, Abd Munaf. Well, that's the name of Abu Talib, by the way, huh? Many people don't know the name of Abu Talib. Abu Talib's name is not Abu Talib. That's his nickname, Abu Talib. Lakin his name is Abdi Munaf. Na'am? Abdi Munaf, that's his name. Abu Talib's name. He says, if you stop by the tents of Abu the sons of Abdi Munaf, the offspring of Abdi Munaf, they will protect you. Because at that time, just like today, when people call nationality, I became a citizen of this country or a national of this country. What does that mean? That this country will protect you now and you're one of them, right? At that time, that's the same concept. You are a stranger, you go and you stop by Al Abd Munaf and they feed you, they take care of you. And if you like it, you stay there and they consider you as one of them almost. He says, if you stop by them, they will protect you and they will feed you. And then he says, عمرو العلا هشم الثريد لقومه. عمرو العلا is the one who هشم. هشم means grinded the wheat. So the word in the Arabic language, هشم, and the noun is هاشم, is the one who grinds the wheat. When you want to cook something, you get the wheat and you grind it, you break it down, and you feed the people. Because Amrul Ula, the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, Hashim, he was called Hashim after when the people in Mecca went through starvation. So much that people almost died, and many people died out of starvation. But Amrul Ula did not save anything that he had. He took all the wheat he had and he started crushing it and cooking and baking for people so they can be fed. That's when he was called Hashim. So that's now we call him Hashim. We say Bani Hashim. Yani he is really Amr al-Ula. They are the sons of the one who crushed the wheat so he can feed the people. Now, and this was actually a competition. And Hashim was the only one that was able to do that. And the other people, they kept their food for their own family. Hashim brought his own food for everybody, stranger and close alike. It runs in genes, you say? I believe that. Now, then al-hadith here says, hadith al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, an ibn Abbas, bughdu, disliking the offspring of Hashim. Now you know who is the offspring of Hashim, na'am? Al-Nabiyul A'zam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and his offspring are Hashim, Bani Hashim, Hashimis, or Hashemites, if you like to call it in the English language, whichever you want. They are the daughters and the sons of Hashim. And the hadith here says, بُغْضُ بَنِي هَاشِمْ, the dislike of Bani Hashim, and the dislike of the Ansar. Who are the Ansar? The ones who were in Medina, as you all know, who supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his muhajireen of the Sahaba. The dislike of Bani Hashim and the Ansar is kufr, blasphemy. Al-Hadith, and then he says the continuation of the Hadith, let's say, وَبُغْضُ الْعَرَبِ نِفَاقٍ, and the dislike or the hate of the Arabs is hypocrisy. So the dislike of Bani Hashim and the Ansar is kufr, and the dislike of the Arabs is hypocrisy. Now let's talk about the Hadith. The Hadith ranges really. يعني some people went to weaken the hadith. لكن المحدث الهيتمي رحمه الله ولا الحافظ الهيتمي, he He mentioned that the narrators of this hadith are trustworthy, ثقات. نعم. والحافظ العراقي رحمه الله حسن الحديث. He says the hadith of Ibn Abbas is Hassan. As you all know, without going too deep into it, the general classification of a hadith, صحيح, حسن, ضعيف. صحيح is the highest level of authenticity. حسن is good, acceptable. ضعيف is weak. Okay? So, it ranges. Lakin, even when we talk about the hadith, so some people who wants to say, okay, the hadith is weak, though, like I said, العراقي, الحافظ العراقي, حسنه, who made it حسن, والحافظ الهيتمي declared that the narrators are ثقات, which means the hadith is صحيح. Lakin, it's simple. The meaning of the hadith is correct. What does that mean? The dislike of Bani Hashim, يعني meaning Ahlul Bayt, the offspring of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is by definition, if you dislike them, remember the hadith, the sahih that we talked about yesterday, that the iman in the Muslim's heart is if they love them for Allah and for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sake, okay? So not loving them, then that may lead to kufr wal-ayyadu billah, or hating them. Now, Al-Ansar, obviously, first of all, let me give you this hadith, and you all know the hadith. Hadith akhrajahu Muslim fi sahih. Hadith sahih. Muslim. Who is the master of Ahlul Bayt after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Huh? Al-Imamu Ali. Sayyiduna Ali. The master of Ahlul Bayt. Sayyidu Ahlul Bayt al-A'zam. Ba'da al-Nabi al-Akram. هو الأمير الإمام أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب نعم okay so the dislike of the prophet obviously leads to kufr the dislike of علي حديث في صحيح مسلم والذي فلق الحبة حديث is authentic صحيح الإمام مسلم والذي فلق الحبة وبرأ النسمة الحديث says لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم tells سيدنا علي, he says, only a mu'min loves you and only a munafiq dislikes you. Authentic. Look at this nice hadith. Look at that beauty. Certification from Allah and His Prophet. That's certification. What? Can anyone get a certification that he's a mu'min? Yes. Do you love Ali? If you do, then An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam testifies that you are a mu'min. Huh? Look in your heart. Do you see the name of Ali there? If you do, لا يحبك إلا استثناء وحصر exception. No one loves you but a mu'min. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إلا مؤمن. And no one dislikes you illa munafiq. Definition. And that's the beauty. Do you know the hadith or not yet? Why don't I teach you this hadith, or you already know it, so why don't you repeat it after me? La yuhibbuka illa mu'min. This means no one loves you but a believer. Wala yubghiduka illa munafiq. هذا حديث صحيح رواه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه and this is among the highest مناقب of أمير المؤمنين. So memorize this hadith. Now you memorize, you come, inshallah, not only we're going, it's all a hadith, لكن this is an authentic hadith from صحيح الإمام مسلم and you memorize the hadith of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in this gathering. And that's the barakah of the gathering, inshallah تعالى. لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. So therefore, anyone who dislikes Bani Hashim in a sense, their master, and from down, then is by definition munafiq. How about al-Ansar? Oh, by the way, there is something else that I should, or let's go to the Ansar. Al-Ansar also fi Sahih al-Imam Muslim, there is another hadith. لا يحبهم إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضهم إلا منافق. The same hadith that came in Sayyidina Ali, Subhanallah, came also on the Ansar. The Ansar, why were they so special? People left Mecca. You know when the Prophet ﷺ did Hijrah? What did they, Sahaba al-Kiram رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, what happened to them? Their properties were confiscated in Mecca. They were persecuted. Many people were killed, slaughtered, simply for saying La ilaha illallah. They were not calling for Islam in any violence, in any way that's violent whatsoever. Lakin still, Quraysh did not like that. So what did they do? Plan after plan, plan to kill the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims. Sallallahu Alaihi wa ala alihi. And then they figured out the master plan. What's the master plan? They said, we will get 50 young men, powerful young men, 50 of them, everyone from a different tribe. So now what we have? 50 young men from 50 different tribes. And we will have them at night surrounding the house of Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And at the morning when he wakes up and he wants to go to salah, or before he wakes up, in the morning before the fajr comes, we storm his house and we all kill him, 50 swords right at him, swords and spears, 50 of them while he's sleeping. This is bravery to them. Huh? Bravery, you send 50 people armed to the teeth against a man who says La ilaha illallah. Sometimes we have to see the concepts of how do people conceptualize things. That's their plot. Little they know, Jibreel runs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has given you permission to hijrah because this is what they're going to do. Here's the plan. Take, that's their agenda, meeting agenda, recorded. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yani I'm not saying he gave him an actual list. He told them. Huh? So I don't say, where is the hadith that he gave him a list? No, it's no hadith. Now, that's, what do they call that? Animation, okay? It's animation. Now, قال له يا رسول الله, the permission came that for you to migrate. These people are trying to kill you. And this is their plan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this after... It's very difficult. And I want you sometimes, because sometimes we read the hijrah and we talk about the hijrah of Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we don't pay attention to the difficulties. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed 13 years in Mecca making da'wah every single day and every single night, while these people were cursing him, slandering him, talking bad about him, trying to dishonor him, throwing filth at him and throwing stones at him and killing his companions, confiscating their properties, putting them in an embargo, which led to the killing of his honorable wife, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Khadijatul Kubra, radhiyallahu alayha, which end up killing Abu Talib, the protector of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the human beings at that time, etc., etc., etc. And then at the end, that was not enough for them. Subhanallah. Like the battle is not, and as long as you breathe, some of the people who are filled with hate, as you breathe, they don't even want you to breathe. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not one, because sometimes some of us are faced with these things and faced with these kinds of people. The reason for that is, 15 minutes. The reason for that is because don't think that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab have left. No. They're still Abu Jahl. Many kinds of Abu Jahls and many kinds of Abu Lahab, simply under a different name, a different face. Yes, Abu Jahl exists and will always exist. Lakin still, it was a very difficult moment for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very difficult to leave his home, where he grew up, his house, and the people that he cared about. He wanted to give them something. He didn't give up. 13 years, he didn't give up. How many times are we willing to sustain slander? How long? Real slander. So much that they want to slander his honorable wives. I mean, you know how, there's no limit to what these people do. And they still exist. There's no limit. You say human decency, no such thing. You say honor, no such thing. You say any kind of rule or ethics, no such thing. Yet still, he wanted to call them to Allah. So, you have to leave, Ya Rasulullah. That's the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to go. When he had to go, he summoned two people. Migration from Mecca to Medina, there was no five-star coach taking them like today from Mecca to Medina. 4 hours, you're in Medina and very nicely. La. That time, number one, you need a guide through the desert. And if you don't have a guide through the desert because there was no paved highways, if there's no guide through the desert, you might wander off slightly and you will end up dead. Very, very easy and very frequently happening. Try it now. You try to go in the desert from Mecca to Medina. And if you don't know where you're going, you'll wander off in some area and the water will run out and you'll simply dehydrate and you'll die. And it's only 250 miles. There's no dalil. There's no guide, no time. Not only that, they're not prepared. There's no time to prepare and buy shoes, especially for that, or get shoes or something. He had to leave right now. He summons two important people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you are on a journey, long journey, you always have to take people that you trust, depend on, rely on, reliable people. He summons two important people like that. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wa Ali ibn Abi Talib. Come, they came, all of a sudden appeared. He says, yeah, Abu Bakr, you're going with me. You're going with me. And he looked at Ali. He says, ya Ali, after that he told them what's going to happen. He says, you will have to stay in my bed. What do you mean? Nowadays, I'm saying now, our reaction nowadays. After I told you there's 50 people with spears and swords, they're coming to kill me in the middle of the night. They're going to storm the house and they're going to come to kill me. You tell me you stay in my bed? Remember yesterday the hadith of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he says, I love you, Ya Rasulullah, over everything except myself. Remember, then he had to contemplate and say, come back again. Says, no, I love you now more than myself. Okay, keep that in mind. To see the caliber of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. No historian, no reference of hadith or no reference of history or no reference of seerah ever mentioned that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he told him that you will have to take cover and cover yourself and make them believe that you are me until we can pass some distance. Nobody ever said that Sayyidina Ali questioned or asked him, will I survive or will they kill me, Ya Rasulullah? Nobody said that. The first thing that would come maybe to our mind, he's a prophet, so I could ask him, will I die or will I not? You know, what's going to happen to me? At the time, Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen was about between 19 to 20, something like that. 19, 20. And Fi Badr, he was about 25. So you can say 21 max. Allah Ta'ala alam. Lakin what some historians narrated that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you have to stay in my seat, in my place, cover yourself, he says, Ruhi laka al-fida wa nafsi laka al-wiqa. He says, my soul is a sacrifice for you, Ya Rasulullah, and my body is a shield for you. You go, and I stay behind. And therefore, one of the poets, he mentioned this, he says, when he looks at this, this is the first sacrifice to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's sleeping in his bed. He says, "Wama," he looks at Sayyidina Ali, yani the poet, you know, the poets always imagine. He says, "Wama naqibun laka duna Ahmadin." Says you have manaqib less than the Prophet, obviously. Duna Ahmadin. Wa manaqibun laka, yani manaqib, wa manaqib to you. Virtues you have, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, less than the Prophet. Faqat bi maqamika taqida wa tahdida. But it is almost impossible to enumerate them. There are so many. But yet it's hard to enumerate them. Famabitu laylika. في الفراش والعدا تهدي إليك قوارعا ورعودا. You stayed in the bed where the people outside gathering and they're pointing all the spears and the swords at you. فَرَقَدْتَ مَثْلُوجَ الْفُؤَادِ كَأَنَّمَا تُهْدِي الْقِرَاعُ لِسَمْعِكَ التَّغْرِيدَ. But you slept that night in that bed so comfortable and at ease as if the spears and the swords were playing music for you to sleep. I'm speechless. No. What's going to happen? He didn't ask. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the opportunity to be in his place, to sleep in his bed, and to possibly sacrifice himself for it. That was the greatest opportunity he could take. He slept so comfortably and so deeply as if these people were just, you know, making music for him to sleep even more sounder. فَمَبِيتُ لَيْلِكَ فِي الْفِرَاشِ فَعْلَى الْفِرَاشِ مَبِيتُ لَيْلِكَ عَفْوًا وَالْعِدَى تُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ بَوَارِقًا وَرُعُودًا فَرَقَدْتَ مَثْلُوجَ الْفُؤَادِ كَأَنَّمَا تُهْدِي الْقِرَاعُ لِسَمْعِكَ التَّغْرِيدَ رَصَدُوا الصَّبَاحِ لِيُنْفِقُوا كَنْزَ الْهُدَى أَوَمَا دَرَوْا كَنْزَ الْهُدَى مَرْصُودًا. The poet says they waited till the morning to slaughter the treasure of guidance. Don't they realize that the treasure of guidance is protected by Allah? Don't they understand? No. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went all the way with As-Siddiq Ridwanullahi Alayh through the Hijrah, and you all know what happened. The people were following him, everyone who was tracing him. Was-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, sometimes he walks on his right, sometimes he walks on his back, sometimes he circulates around him, and he says, why are you doing this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, just in case someone throws an arrow, it hits me before it hits you. What kind of madrasa, what kind of school did these people go to? Huh? Pepperdine? Wulla Stanford, Wulla Harvard. They went to a school called Muhammadun Rasulullah. That's the school they went to. And that's not an easy school. I always say this to people. Don't ever confuse vocational training with education. Ever. Don't ever make that fatal mistake by thinking that vocational training means education. Because nowadays people think they go to school for 4 years, they become engineers, or for 5 years or 6 years, they become doctors, and they think they are educated. Don't ever confuse vocational training with education. You may be both. You may be vocationally trained and educated, but vocational training by itself in no means makes you an educated person. Therefore, many of your great-grandmothers were highly educated. And many of the people with lots of diplomas are highly uneducated. Think about that. You tell me which school, which university did Umm Salama radiyallahu anha attend? Or Khadija al-Kubra, or Aisha, or Hafsa, or Zainab? You tell me, please. The madrasa of Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Naam. So Al-Ansar, after all these hardships, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they're going all the way, Al-Ansar received Al-Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they opened the door, they shared their houses, they split their money, they split their everything they have. Take Ya Rasulullah, you and your companions. Very easily narrated, very difficult to do. You bring somebody that you don't know, you only know about them that they say La ilaha illallah, and you try to give them half of your money. Let me see that. Because we talk about Islam and Iman and we talk words. But maybe we need to feel the words. That's why they were where they were, and that's why we are where we are. Because they had yaqeen on Allah. They had yaqeen, they had that iman that was so firm that when I give, I'm giving to Allah first. Therefore, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, ruhi laha al-fida. Our mother Fatima, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا فَاطِمَا. How do you know? You know what Fatima is? فاطمة بضعة مني يقول النبي العظم صلى الله عليه وآله. حديث في البخاري صحيح. He says Fatima is a piece of me, literally. يؤذيها ما يؤذيني. If whatever bothers her bothers me. فاطمة. وما أدراك ما فاطمة. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم when he leaves Medina, when he travels on a travel, and when he returns, the first home he enters when he returns to Medina, before he goes anywhere, he goes to the house of Fatima. He knocks the door, his daughter. Assalamu alaykum ya ahla bayti nubuwa. He says, Assalamu alaykum, O household of the Prophet. Do you give permission to Muhammad to enter? أتأذنون لمحمد بالدخول? Will you allow Muhammad to enter the house? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رسول الله أشهد أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رسول الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم 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 الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الوسيلة والفضيلة بعث اللهم المقام المحمود والدرجة العالية الرفيعة التي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم إن شاء الله we'll go to صلاة المغرب and then we'll continue.